Amen. Always enjoy that song. I'm looking forward to the day that Jesus appears. Boy, we had a good Sunday night in spite of the dark. And if you didn't know, we were lights out Sunday night. Lights out. And baptized six in spite of the lights being out. And just a really, really good service. And this Sunday night, we'll be baptizing again. And Lord willing, be baptizing the whole Holder family. And I look forward to that. That'll be five of them. So, and anyone else we can round up. Amen. We just, God just continues to bless. I do want to remind you, kids, about the building, to be in prayer for that. I was trying not to sneeze. Did y'all see that? Some of you down front could see. We have hit a snag, and this is not natural. This happens. Those of us who've been through this building process know that happens, and it has to do with our civil engineer and the fire truck turnarounds and things like that. It's just part of the process. But we've been several weeks on this little issue, and it's not Hassett's fault, by the way. It's mostly the fire department, mostly our civil engineer dragging his feet a little bit. And just be in prayer. You know, you can't send them, you know. No, I won't say that. I only say that to David Obenauer. Anyway, so just be in prayer. Let's pray the Lord to move and just get this thing straightened out. The architect's done. They're pretty well, let me clarify, pretty well done. If we get the civil engineer done, then the plans are here. Here we go. And so pray about that. I hope it is. It ought to be on your permanent prayer list. By the way, it's very, very important. A lot of money involved, of the Lord's money that you gave, and the whole process. So I hope that's on your permanent prayer list. Be in prayer for you, if you would, about that. Be in prayer for our missionaries. I was reading several letters today, and, you know, the Tyler's coming off the field. And our missionaries go through a lot, and just be in prayer for them. I am excited about this semester of the Crown Southwest and Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. And the opening day rally is this Friday. Brother Sexton will be preaching out at the school this Friday at 7 o'clock if you'd like to come. I know I'm going to go. Brother Stone, I believe, is going. And the Wiggins are going to be here. They're going to go. And there'll be several of us out there. So Brother Sexton's a good preacher, one of the best in the country. And encourage you, if you want to hear something good, and go out and see the investment that our church has made over the years in the school out there. And so that's this Friday. All right? Psalm 131. We started here last Wednesday. We did not finish the message from last Wednesday. So I have four pages of notes, one page. Each page is about 20 minutes. And so, anyway. But we've already been through a lot of it. We're talking about, again, spiritual growth and this series of messages on spiritual growth. And especially these next three, which is the one we did last Wednesday night, tonight, and then next Wednesday night. Just have to do with the maturing process, that God's goal for each Christian, God's goal for each one of His children is to mature. And can I tell you, that's the goal for our kids. Again, I've got two 16-year-old boys, a 13-year-old boy that's going to be turning 14. Y'all understand that Caleb's fixing to turn 17 in just a couple of months. 12-year-old girl, 10-year-old boy. And I want you to know, one of my goals as a parent is to see them mature. And as they mature, to see them become independent. Amen? I want them at some point in their life to be able to go out and live independently of me. Doesn't mean daddy and mama won't be there to help them as time goes on. My dad and mom have helped me from time to time. But for the most part, our job is to raise children and have them mature in such a way, physically, mentally, relationally, all these things, in order they might go out and be independent of us. I will tell you today, there's a lot of parents not doing that. Let me say, I think I'm correct. A lot of parents are not doing that. See the product. Hello? Okay. One of my pet peeves. And I told them from now on, when we hire staff around here, maybe I shouldn't say this. Yeah, well, as we hire staff around here, I'm going to have like a 5-point questionnaire before I ever get to ministry stuff. The first question is going to be, what was your first job and when was it? Okay. I'm just saying, we see a lot of people today who can't even who have no work ethic. They weren't taught to mature and be independent and work on their own. And so I'm not talking about our staff right now, please. We have the best staff we've ever had. But we have experienced some stuff in the past, which we've tried to learn from. But our goal, God's goal for our life, I'm getting sidetracked bad tonight. Our goal, God's goal for each Christian, God's goal for each believer, child of God, is to mature in all these areas. We talked about last Wednesday night, we kind of got on the psychology of and laid down on the couch a little bit and talked about how that as a mature person, that a mature person's okay with themselves, right? They understand themselves. They understand their responsibilities. They accept themselves. They accept the talents that God has given them. They accept their body as God has given it to them. Again, I've got a big nose. I accepted that long ago. My brother has a big nose. My dad has a big nose. My kids have big noses. My boys especially. And so we'll pray Taylor doesn't get the big Nut Crawford nose, okay? We'll try to spare her. But and one of the maturing processes is being okay with what God has given you. Some of you cannot sing. We've discussed that Wednesday night. Remember Brother John? We used him as an example. Brother John Reed. Brother John Reed, the big guy over there that's bald. Yeah? He cannot sing, okay? The guy's tone deaf. And we used him as an example. But John's okay with that. He understands that. He knows that he shouldn't be singing in the choir. But he also understands you make a joyful noise in the Lord, right? And I hope you're ringing it and Miss Jenner, you know, yeah. And so, you know, we understand that certain talents God's given us and those talents God has. You at some point in your maturing process, you need to be okay, content, is what Paul said, with where you're at. Just content with what God has made you. God didn't make no junk. And now we ought to be willing to improve in the areas in which we can. I use the illustration of our mind, that our minds can improve, that you can memorize Scripture. You can do some of these things you thought you could never do if you just work at it. So there's some areas we can improve in. As we mature as Christians, we should gain a type for the appetite for the things of God, the Word of God. We talked about, you know, again, the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. And these things, maturing, as a maturing Christian, we understand that God works through teamwork. The Corinthian church was fighting like little children. And they wanted, each person in the Corinthian church wanted the attention themselves. It's all about me. Well, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And the purpose that He's given to us as a church is to win people to Jesus Christ, to baptize them, and to disciple them. That's our purpose. And each of us have to drop our own agendas. We have to drop our own pride. We have to drop our own, you know, whatever that may be, and get together and work together as a team to fulfill God's purpose for our church. And so that's why we can put up with each other. That's why we can forbear each other. That's why we can, again, love each other in spite of our differences. Again, one of the great miracles of the church is that individuals with different personalities and different likes and dislikes can all work together. That is a miracle for God. It really is. And so we work together as a team. Not about me, but it's about getting the work done for God. Mature people are serious about the work of God and are able to work together with others to get the job done. Work of God, get the job done. Amen. Whether it's in children's church, our master's club that starts next Wednesday night, our discipling on Wednesday night, whatever it is, we need to get the job done. We work together. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ, working together for the common cause. And again, David said, is there not a cause? There is a great cause. And the cause is the cause of Jesus Christ. And we're to work together. Whether it's the musicians, whether it's the song leader, whether it's the Sunday school teachers, all of us working together. The other illustration that Paul uses, a soldier, and then he also uses the athlete. As an athlete, think about a football team, have to work together. You have to work together. And be reminded of that. Just think about that for a moment. We have to work together. By the way, if somebody's not doing their job, it drags the team down. We need to all work till Jesus comes. And this is our core group, generally on Wednesday night, the ones that are doing most of the work. Let's remember the work isn't done. The wedding music, we can hear faintly, but Jesus hasn't returned yet, and there's work to be done. We are laborers together with God. That was one of our themes a few years ago. You know, again, no more me, no more my view, no more my way, but His way. His way, okay? Then the next step is encouraging others onto maturity. Colossians chapter 1, we won't turn there, but praying for others. Part of the maturing process is us encouraging others. In other words, we're helping them to mature. Right? I mean, I'm helping my children to mature by various things that I make them do and directing and leading and guiding them. And so we are to be encouraging others and helping them onto maturity. This is, again, by way of praying for them, by way of public worship, by us worshiping together and interacting together and encouraging each other and lifting each other up, edifying each other. I think about tonight, Miss Christy McCollum and John McCollum and the results of the test today, and just not good. You know, let's be in prayer. Let's lift them up. Encourage them and many others that we could go on about in our church and encouraging them, helping in public worship. Can I remind you, if you sit towards the back, that you should be singing just as loud on Sunday morning as the person sitting on the front? That it does have an impact on those around you? It does. It does, absolutely. I want to encourage you. Sing out. Be a part of the public worship. Encourage others around you. And it's just an amazing thing. Encourage them, equipping them, enlisting others to the work of the Lord. And again, part of that maturing process is us as Christians, us as members of our church, working together, praying together, all these things. One of the signs of maturity as an individual and as a Christian is a sign of maturity is doing what's right. Think about this for a moment. It's going to work when you don't feel like it. Right? Just doing what's right. We think about that as we raise our children and teaching them right and wrong. Just doing what's right. No matter how they may feel or what their mood may be, a sign of maturity is doing what is right. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. Nobody understands or nobody knows how I feel. The Bible says such is common to all men. Yes, there are many people in this room who understand how you feel. But you do what's right, no matter how you feel and no matter what you feel. Oh, you don't know, preacher. They hurt me. They said this. You know, again, it's not a matter of if somebody's going to offend you. It's when. Somebody's going to offend you. Absolutely. In this church building tonight, somebody is going to offend you. And you mark it down, at some point, I probably will offend you. I may not call you at the right moment. I may not show up at the hospital at the right time. Whatever the case may be. I may say something stupid. You know, I do that pretty often. Whatever may happen, I may offend you. Again, it's not when, it's not if, it's when. It's going to happen. And what you have to be able to do is say, okay, Sunday morning, even though such and such sister offended me, I know it's right to go to church. I'm going to get up and go. That's a sign of maturity. A sign of being a child is staying at home. Well, they hurt my feelings. That's children's stuff. That's kid stuff. Well, they hurt me bad. We all get hurt bad from time to time. I don't know about you, but somebody could, if they offended you at, you know, Lockheed or they offended you at Bell, you'd still go to work. You know? I said this last Wednesday night. You can work with people that you don't like. I use the illustration of working with someone who is immoral. And I got pretty particular last Wednesday night. But you know, you what? You have to work with them. And though I hope you never have to work with anybody immoral at the church, we can work together. Again, that's part of that miracle process that God can use individual personalities and individual people to go forward. But sign of maturity is being able to do what's right no matter how you feel. No matter how you feel. Well, preacher, you're always telling us we should come to church because we want to, not because we have to. That's true. A sign of maturity is that you are serving because you want to, not because you have to. But it doesn't give you an excuse not to serve. Simply because you are having to make yourself from time to time. How many of y'all just confused? I'm telling you right now, there's times we have to make ourselves do certain things. But I hope as you mature, and God's goal for you as you mature, is that the majority of the time when you are serving Him, you're doing so because you love Him and you want to serve Him. But at certain times, maturity has to just kick in and say, you know, I'm just going to do what's right, no matter how I feel. Maturity, sign of maturity is doing what's right. Part of the maturing process is freedom. In other words, it's doing whatever we want or what we feel, but being controlled by the truth and motivated by love. Let me say that again. It's not doing whatever we want or whatever we feel, but being controlled by truth and motivated by love. Freedom, again, freedom. And I know y'all hate me talking about various movements that some of you don't have a clue what's going on. But there's a movement out there called the Grace Movement. It is unbiblical and it is wrong. And basically what they say is that we are under grace and therefore we can live like we want to. Well, brother, we're just under grace. I agree biblically, we're under grace. But that didn't give you a license to do what you want to. Yes, we are to be motivated by love. I just said that. You ought to serve the Lord because you want to, because you love Him. But you should be controlled by truth. Listen closely now. Our motivation should be that of love. And there's been times in the service of God, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, where preachers have gotten up and browbeated people and to a certain point made them feel guilty for certain things that they were doing or not doing. And that was the motivation. It was an individual motivating them to do certain things. And at certain times, I cross the line. I know I do, and I try not to. We absolutely ought to be motivated by love in serving the Lord. And we ought to absolutely not go back under the law. We're under grace. But understand that does not give us a license to do whatever we want to. We are to be controlled by truth. Jesus says, if you love me, motivation of love, you will do my commandments. That's pretty simple, guys. It means if you really love Him and you're motivated by love, then you'll obey Him. And part of maturity is understanding the freedom we have in Christ and understanding and being motivated by love to serve Him and do all those great things for Him, but being controlled by the truth as well. And let me tell you, one of the things that makes Independent Baptist, at least this Independent Baptist Church, unique is that we absolutely believe in the authority of the Scriptures. We believe in that the Bible, the King James, is the inspired, inerrant, the very Word of God. We also believe in separation. And this is one of the areas in which most churches have laid aside and said, you know what? We're not no longer going to get up and teach on how a person should live. That's grace anyway. Let God do that. My Bible says that as a preacher, I'm to preach in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Three-quarters of my job is to get up and rebuke and exhort. And three-quarters of my job is negative. The church's job is to get up and say, hey, you ought to live right. Jesus said, be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. We don't have to go out and do whatever we want to. One of the very first verses, and I've told you guys this 100 times, one of the very first verses, a group of verses that my dad made us memorize as kids was Romans chapter 6. And at one time, we had to memorize the whole chapter. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul's simply saying, hey, you don't use your salvation as a license to do whatever you want to. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans goes on to say, it says that we are instruments of righteousness. Freedom is a sign of maturity. But that freedom comes also with the attitude and understanding that we are controlled by truth, the Word of God. And as Independent Baptists, we still preach the inspired and Word of God. We understand and know that it is. We preach standards and we preach soul winning. Those three areas in which we still emphasize. Aren't you glad you're in a church that like that? You're not in one of those mealy-mouth, tickling-eared preacher sets on a... Okay. All right. We from time to time, just we need to be we need to understand there's some things we shouldn't do. And there's some things we should do. And it is your teacher's job in the Sunday school class, Brother Kelly, Brother Henderson, Brother Doyce, Brother Fiesler, Miss Mosenauer. It is the job, especially of these adult class teachers, to get up and preach truth. And when they're preaching through one of the books of the Bible, and they come across something that's just not right or something that's not wrong, and it's applicable to you, it's their duty to teach it straightforward, just as it says. We seek to live the truth in love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, we can't live the truth without the power of the Holy Spirit. Most wonderful freedom in the world is freedom to experience all that God has planned for us and to glorify Him as we enjoy it. Several illustrations of wrong motivations in the Bible. Jonah went to Nineveh. Did he want to go to Nineveh? No. When he got there, did he want to be there? No. After he preached and all the people got saved, did he like the result? No. Did he do it anyway? Yes. Sign of maturity is just doing what's right. Doing what the Lord says. Elder brother of the prodigal son, same thing. We need to do what's right. When duty becomes, listen to this, somebody ought to write this down. This is not with me. This is Warren Wiersbe quote. Listen to this. When duty becomes delight, when labor is motivated by love, laws become songs, life becomes an exciting experience of freedom and maturity. Read that again. I like this a lot. When duty becomes delight, it wasn't a duty for me to come in here tonight. Now, it was my duty to come here, but I delighted in doing so. When labor is motivated by love, I can't say that's always the case, but more often than not it is. When laws become songs, I delight in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is not a ball and chain to me. The law of the Lord is not negative to me. When you can sing about the law of God, when life becomes an exciting experience of freedom and maturity. All right, so God's goal for us as Christians is to mature. God's method in maturing His children is weaning, and His desire in that process is that children submit to Him. Psalm 131, verse 1 again. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eye lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned and his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. We talked about this last week, that Hezekiah probably was the person who put the Psalms together, or most of them. And this Psalm was added 300 years after David's death. So don't think David was saying, look how good I am, Lord. No, he was probably, this was a private song to the Lord, and it was published and put in here. By the way, Holy Spirit put it here. All right? But David's saying, listen, my heart isn't prideful. My eyes aren't lofty. I understand my position. He understood that he was simply a shepherd boy. The lowliest position. He understood his position. And when he came into the king's court, he continued to understand his position. He didn't overstep his bounds. In fact, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that he was wise when he entered Saul's house. Even though he'd already been anointed king, he didn't walk around and say, you know what, I've been anointed king, I'm the next guy. You better put it together, man. I'm the next king around here. No, he was wise. He wasn't haughty or prideful. He illustrates that by way of a child being weaned from its mother. One of the processes in which we go through as Christians is being weaned. And this is, again, an illustration. It means to get accustomed. It means to get accustomed away from one's mother. The Hebrew word means to recompense, to treat kindly, completeness. To recompense, to treat kindly, our completeness. It has to do with, the illustration would be of a fruit that is ripening. A fruit that is ripening, that is becoming complete. Ripening and completing it. Weaning meant, I have a hard time saying that word for some reason. Weaning meant more freedom for the child along with various other feelings. So it meant more freedom for the child. It means more freedom for the child. But it also comes with some feelings that maybe they've never felt before, like rejection. Why didn't my mother love me anymore? You know? You never felt that way about the Lord? Lord, why am I here by myself? You know? Why am I here by myself? Well, where are you? Rejection and many other feelings, hunger and independence and all these things that a child begins to feel as they mature and are weaned. I had a chance and opportunity to work for a ranch when I was growing up. My first job was at a peach orchard. Besides my grandfather's farm, was a peach orchard down the, about 10 miles from our house. And we got up at during the summer, got up at the crack of dawn and was out there before dark and started picking peaches. And some of y'all have heard my stories about picking those peaches. I love to pick them. I didn't care about that fuzzy stuff. That's what I had for breakfast every morning, right off the branch. That fuzzy stuff was nice. I just ate along with it. And I love the culls. You know, they only put the unripe, you know, just barely ripe peaches in the box to sell. All the other ones, they called them culls and sold them to people so they could make jelly and stuff like that. That's the ones we got to take home. Oh, man, they were so good. And I enjoyed working out there. During the winter, they would keep me on, and I was kept on to prune peach trees. And I've used that in sermon illustrations 100 times. But also to bottle feed calves. And they would buy Jersey and Holstein calves, and we would bottle feed them throughout the winter and get ready for the spring. And part of the weaning process with them was to feed them sweet feed. And you would start real slow and just kind of work the way. But you did begin to wean them. In fact, the goal was to wean them as fast as you could. The quicker you get them off the bottle, the cheaper it was. The quicker they could eat grass, the cheaper it was. And it's such a process. And boy, them calves, even months after they've been weaned, if you put that bottle out there, they still come and running. And so we think about the weaning process. All right, so what do we do during this weaning process? Everybody with me now. A child is born. From the time a child is born, biblically the illustration here is they are being weaned until the Lord comes back. We're still in this, it's just a different way of illustrating the same thing we've been teaching. We are justified here from glory to glory. God's sanctifying us until He calls us home and glorifies us. Everybody with me? That journey that we talk about from the time we're saved to the time the Lord comes back, this time is called sanctification. And this time is called, and here, this illustration here is called the weaning process. So we're going through the weaning process, and part of that weaning process is understanding and knowing that we must trust God, that we must put our trust in God. Bring us to the place where we need Him. And we think about this with our kids, how they need us. From the time they're born to the time, you know, I still need my dad. I do. I'm glad I can call him and talk to him today about the funeral. I'm glad he's there. Some of you have lost your parents. And, you know, we need our parents. A kid needs their parent. A kid goes from being a baby to toddler to entering that first day of school. I remember my first day of school in kindergarten. And I remember Miss Caulfield. I can still remember her name. That's unbelievable, isn't it? My first grade teacher was Miss Gray. My second grade teacher was Miss Hankins. My third grade teacher was Miss Merritt. Anyway, that's just terrible that I can remember stuff like that. Do y'all remember stuff like that? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. And so I remember my first day in school. I remember crying as Mom and Dad dropped us off. Weaning process from first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade to junior high. Woo, junior high. I lived in a country there was no such thing as middle school. I don't know where that came from. Some liberal thing, I guess. But when I was a kid, there was no middle school. It was junior high and high school. You went to junior high at sixth grade. And what an exciting time it was. We were meeting our junior high. It was in, I think it still is, in the old high school, old building built in the 1920s. And my first year there, there was no air conditioner in that building. In the sixth grade, can you believe that? I'm only 37, and I remember going to school without air conditioning. Boy, that's country, you know, that's country. The second year, boy, they completely remodeled that old 1920s building and put window units in all the classrooms. And we were very thankful. It was so nice. And but, you know, all those things you experience as a kid growing up and the need for the parents. You think about, again, parents, think about buying all the stuff that you have to buy that our kids don't even have a clue most of the time. And all the things of feeding them and caring for them, providing for them. I told somebody here recently that, you know, I'm beginning now to prepare for the college season of our lives. And Caleb will be going to college in the next couple of years. So it's time to prepare for that and get ready for that. And here we go. That process. Then we'll think about marriage and your kids getting married. I can't even think that. I know most of you have been through that already. And that first grandkid, and then the great-grand, and so forth and so on. But just that whole process of growth. Listen, the key is, as kids, as children of God, and that weaning process is understanding that we must place our trust in God. Our kids put our trust in us. Okay, so my kid gets in a wreck. Lord willing, that doesn't happen. But if it does, who is he going to call? He's going to call me with trepidation. He is. And trembling. And a quivering voice. And say, Daddy, I need you to come get me. You know? That's none of those things that it's not a matter of if, it's when. Probably. And so, they depend upon us. And as Christians, listen, I know I'm losing some of you. As Christians, we must understand that we need to get to the place where we depend upon Him. All right? A death in the family. I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to go to Him, sometimes with quivering lips and sadness in my heart, and say, Lord, I need you. And you know what? He's going to be there for me. He says, if my son prays, when your son prays, if he asks for bread, do you give him a snake? I mean, no. God gives and answers prayers for us. He's there. We can trust Him. In this process, the natural process of growing up, and as we grow old, we go through this maturing process, this weaning process. You think about kids. Micah loves Legos. My goodness, these kids love Legos. I don't understand. No, I did. I liked Legos when I was a kid. Joshua's not down here. We'll pick on him. Joshua has been mowing some yards and making his own money, and he said, Daddy, can I spend some of it? By the way, he doesn't get a choice. He has to ask Dad. He who pays the bills makes the rules. I don't care if it's so-called his money or not. I decide what he spends it on. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. And so he said, Dad, can I spend some money? And I said, well, what are you going to spend it on? He said, I'm going to spend it on Legos. And then I said, you know what? You earned that money. If you want to spend on Legos, go right ahead. Bought one of these big old airplane-looking things. You know what I'm talking about? It takes like 2 days to put it together. What a waste of time. But it was something he enjoyed. I remember as a kid, I loved Legos. I had a big old box of them. And then, I don't know, my mom went to a garage sale or something and bought like a box this big of them or something. I mean, I had tons of them. And, but you know what? At some point, I laid those toys down. And at some point, my boys will have to lay those Legos. I told them I'm going to sell them in the garage sale. That's what my mom did to all my toys. I don't have any of my toys from when I was a kid. They're all sold in the garage sale. And all my Hot Wheels. I had a ton of Hot Wheels, all sold in the garage sale, you know. Only thing I kept from when I was a kid was baseball cards, and they're worthless. Mark McGuire on steroids and stuff like that. All my rookie cards are worthless. I was raised in the era of steroids, you know what I'm saying? Bo Jackson got hurt, and all his rookie cards are worthless. And anyway, but that's about the only thing I kept. But at some point, those toys have to be laid down. And those toys are laid down as we mature, and tools are picked up, whatever tools that might be. That's part of the maturing process, that the toys are laid down, and again, we pick up new tools. We think about Abraham going through that maturing process, that weaning process. We don't have time to go and read it, but if you remember, God said to Abraham, get you out of the Ur of Chaldees. He told him something, though. He said, leave your father and your mother. Leave thy kindred and go into a place I will show you. You know what he did? He obeyed to a certain degree, but he took his dad with him. Took his nephew with him. And God had to knock the crutches out from underneath Abraham. His dad died in Haran, died. And at some point, you know, Lot and the and Abraham's people got in a little fight, and they had to separate. Abraham was told that he would have a son. Sarah would have a son, but instead he laid with his, you know, Hagar and had Ishmael. I wonder how Abraham, in fact, the Bible tells us he did, that he ached, that he mourned when he had to separate from Ishmael. When God told Abraham to kick Ishmael out of the camp. Imagine how that hurt. God had to continue to knock the crutches out from underneath him. Till at one point, he held the knife above his son Isaac. See, Abraham was going through a weaning process. A weaning process. David went through that same process. Can I tell you that we need to learn to trust God? I came across this because sometimes we all get guilty of this. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but can I tell you, when it comes right down to it, it's not wrong to have friends. It's not wrong to seek counsel. The Bible tells us to do so. But it is wrong to trust them instead of trusting God. When it comes down to it, when it comes right down to it, no matter what decision you're making, no matter what circumstance you're in, you need to, in this maturing process as a Christian, as a child of God, you need to put your trust in God. Put your trust in Him, and not in man, but in God. Not in your pocketbook, but in God. Not in that doctor, but in God. Put your trust in Him. Lastly, can I tell you that God cares for you? I don't know about you, but I love my kids. Really, I love them. I love them with all my heart. I would do just about anything for them that was right. And God cares for you that much or more. And we'll get into this next Wednesday night. But God loves you unconditionally. You know that God punishes patiently? Think about that for a moment. He does not give us what we deserve, honestly. And God seeks to fulfill His purpose in us in spite of us. God cares for us. I'll just remind you again that God seeks the best possible good for you. That God always has our best interest in mind. And no matter what valley you may be going through, no matter what problems you may face, we need to put our trust in Him. One of the signs of maturity is our ability to trust Him no matter the circumstance. Absolutely. Have you been there? I know I have. And I'm glad that I put my trust in Him. In fact, I take joy in knowing that He picked me up in those times and carried me and helped me and gave me grace just in the time I needed it, just at the right time. I'm glad He's never late. I'm glad He's never early. I'm glad He's always right on time. Amen. As we love our kids, God loves us. Never forget that. Put your trust in Him. Let's all stand. Hymn 167. Just as I